This is the Stinking Truth.
More quarterbacks in the news. Justin Fields. How about what seems to be developing? There was a thought that when Justin Fields, when he gets traded, that the Bears would be able to get maybe even a first-round pick in return or a second round. Now you're hearing reports that teams might actually covet Drew Lock or Sam Darnold in free agency more than trading for Fields. You buy that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Fields, again, until a quarterback who, you know, makes a lot of plays with his legs and scrambles around and until that quarterback actually wins a championship or is proficient in playoff football, until that happens, I still will lean on the I want a guy that can eviscerate you from the pocket. You know, it always comes down to this for me, ultimately, is at some point, if that's what you guys do, you know, you run your quarterback and you do all those things, I think a couple things. One, I don't think it's a sustainable form of offense because eventually that guy's going to get hurt. And I know a lot of people will tell you, and I've talked to John Harbaugh and other guys, well, you take just as many hits, big hits in the pocket. Yeah, but when you're scrambling around, it's not getting hit by one guy. It's getting hit by one dude and then three other guys falling on top of you. And then the, you know, the overall cutting and moving and doing all that stuff, I just think it lends itself to injury. So I think that's a big part of it. And then ultimately, I also think that at the end of the day, teams are going to force you to beat them from the pocket. And if you don't have the capability of doing that, if to beat them from the pocket, you have to scramble around and make plays, I think the eventuality of that when you get into the playoffs and you have a good playoff team that you're facing, I just think you're going to lose games. And I think that's one of the issues with Baltimore and Lamar is they get into those situations why they've lacked success in the playoffs. I mean, come on now. They scored 10 points in a playoff game against Kansas City, who only scored 17. They didn't get in a shootout. That's what's happened to them. And, you know, I understand that Kansas City won the Super Bowl, and I understand how good they are, but I think that's part of the problem with Justin Fields. So you look at the rehab. I think Sam Darnold is going to be a huge, a very coveted quarterback in this free agent market after spending a year with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco getting his quarterback rehab on. I think he'll be probably the most coveted guy in free agency.
And you know what? If Sam Darnold does end up getting that deal that you think might happen, he probably owes a large debt of gratitude to Baker Mayfield, who he was part of the same class of in 2018, because look at Baker Mayfield. Yeah, it's taken some time. He's moved on to a number of teams, but it appears that he's found a home in Tampa. Certainly got the contract. 3 years, $100 million plus, with about $100 million of that guaranteed. Not bad for Baker Mayfield. We all kind of thought that he'd end up staying
in Tampa.
Tampa, but does this deal, this commitment, surprise you at all?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it's still at one of those very manageable rates, if you will, at about $33 million bucks a year. You know, when you're considering
really below. It's really below market value if you think that the stud quarterbacks are getting $40, $50 million per.
I had said that if they can get him on a deal like Seattle got Geno Smith on, which at the time I think was $25 million a couple of years ago, so you know, market economics with the cap going up and everything else, I think it's something that you can manage very well, very efficiently. Remember, now Tampa still, you know, they won that division at 9-8. So, I mean, it still wasn't, you know, great shakes by any stretch of the imagination. But Baker played really well down the stretch. I was really happy for Baker Mayfield. Think about this. There was photos that I saw several months ago, with Baker Mayfield in a red penny.
Jeez. I know the photo you're talking about.
Playing for the Carolina Panthers, lining up on the scout team at defensive end, opponent, like playing defensive end for the you know, pretending to be the opponent's defensive end, to signing a $33 million deal.
Wow.
Which, and it just goes to show you being in the right place at the right time with the right atmosphere around you. And he gets, you know, Mike Evans signs a long-term deal there, or a two-year deal there. So, I mean, I think it's the perfect spot for Baker, but it also makes me feel like Sam Darnold may not get that one-year Baker prove-it contract. It makes me feel like they're like, I think he'll be the most coveted free agent quarterback out there, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him sign like a 3-year deal.
Well, not the most coveted free agent quarterback.
Oh yeah, yeah, not
that
the
would be
most.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Yeah,
who I keep checking my phone here because legal tampering has begun. Basically, free agency has begun, and as we're speaking, nothing yet with Kirk Cousins, but it seems like it's a done deal, right?
Dude, if he
Cousins
goes
to Atlanta,
if he goes to Atlanta. If Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, Atlanta is the front runner under Raheem Morris to win that division far and away. I thought they should have won it last year. I thought if they would have kept Taylor Heinicke in there the whole time last year, they'd have won that division last year. I thought they had an outstanding young defense with some big-time pieces. Calais Campbell, obviously old, but really played well. David Onyemata is... A great player on the inside. They'll get Grady Jackson back, who tore his ACL last year, is a great player. They had some good young linebackers. Landman, former CU Buff, was great. It's Jeremy Bates at the safety position is phenomenal. They've got some young corners. Like, they're outstanding. Got a big time offensive line. They can really run the ball. Got a couple of big time running backs. I think some big time young receivers. I mean, Kirk Cousins goes there with that West Coast offense that Raheem Morris will bring with him, dude, they win that division. I don't think there's any question. So it looks like Kirk is going to Atlanta. At least that's the – unless, you know, I don't know that Minnesota's going to swoop in there and do something. But I think that makes the most sense.
So help me out with this one, because we were talking about this on the podcast last week about how there's a big pool of safeties available.
Yeah.
And I always thought – that safety had become a position that if you're a team building from the ground up and you're prioritizing positions, that if quarterback was number one and a protective left tackle was number two, I always thought that a playmaking safety was really high up on that to-do list. But
it was.
So what has changed so to the point where we've got this huge pool of free agent safeties out there?
Yeah, at last count, there was over $100 million in dead cap space or whatever, or salaries of safeties that were released. There was like 20 guys on the market that were really big time good players. Kevin Byard went off the market. Remember, there's a guy that they were spending $15, $16 million a year on these safeties, who signed a 2-year deal in Chicago for, I think, $15 million. So you look at the value of the safety, and we'll just call it the Vic Fangio effect. And this happened to me a couple of years ago. I was talking to Kyle Shanahan. I was doing a San Francisco game. And he goes, well, he's like, it's the Vic Fangio defense. The Vic Fangio defense is taking over the league. And it goes back all the way to when the Rams played in their first Super Bowl against New England. And if you remember, the Rams went to Chicago to play the Bears about maybe a little over midway point in the season, you know, like week 11 or something like that. And the Bears and Vic Fangio shut them down. Just absolutely shut that high-flying offense. Remember, nobody could stop it. And they shut that high-flying offense under Jared Goff down.
Yep.
And then everybody started copying Vic Fangio's plan. And Vic Fangio is that classic shell defense, two deep safeties. And so instead of having that middle of the field, single high, you know, middle of the field closed versus middle of the field open, he's a middle of the field open coach. Instead of having that middle of the field closed eraser back there, they all of a sudden started saying, let's play this shell defense, make everybody throw it underneath, and rally up and make tackles, and see if you can put 8 to 12 plays together to score on us. And when we get into the red zone, that we've played this shell defense. Now we're playing this shell defense in the red zone. And guess what? Instead of our safeties' feet at their heels at 12 to 14 yards, now what do we have them at? We have them at 8 yards. Why? Because we don't have to worry about getting beat over the top anymore. So now our whole defense becomes a 10-man front or an 8-man, 9-man front. And so we're having great success in the red zone of making people kick field goals. And so all of a sudden, this position that was the most coveted position in football. Remember, there was a bunch of slot corners that didn't want to play slot corner anymore, right? They didn't want to play the nickel corner anymore. They wanted to go to the safety position. And I remember having this conversation. He went to the Giants from New England. Logan Ryan went to the Giants.
Or you go the other way around.
What?
Patriots
no, he went from
Giants.
New England
to
the
Giants. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so I remember having this conversation with him. And he said, listen, one of the reasons I left is I don't want to play in the slot anymore. Slot guys don't get paid. Yep. Safeties do. And now what you're seeing is I think you'll see that money transfer from the safety position down to the slot corner. When I talk to coaches, both defensive coaches and offensive coaches, you know what they say the toughest position in football is? The toughest defensive position in football. Any clue?
Yeah, you've told me this. Slot corner.
Slot corner.
Yeah.
Like, who's your nickel?
Yeah.
That's what they always say. Who's your nickel?
Yep.
Because you've got to be able to be spatially aware in zone coverage. You got to be able to play man-to-man with a two-way go. And you got to be a run support guy. You got to be able to fit the C-gap. You got to be able to, you're playing will linebacker, essentially. So they're like, it's the toughest position. Hey, man, if you don't have a good nickel corner, we're going to attack him. And if you do, you know what? He's a huge advantage to you.